This week, we're talking about the concept of disenrollment. That's when a school district removes a student because it believes he or she doesn't actually live within district boundaries. In suburban Philadelphia, almost every district checks up on families it suspects of illegally crossing district lines. But critics say administrators too often target poor and minority families when doing this work. In the second installment of our three-part series, Kicked Out, WHYY's Avi Wolfman-Arendt takes us inside one case that reflects some of these critiques.
I like the style of the house when it was just for me.
Louise Octavia Durham's four-bedroom colonial in Pottsgrove, Pennsylvania, was supposed to be her refuge after a life of hard work.
When I had this house built, I didn't anticipate so much company.
She's 64 years old now, but her gleaming smile, hoop earrings, and dyed blonde hair rolled into rows of twists suggests someone not quite ready to slow down. And that's good, because about 15 feet away, three of her teenage grandchildren are swapping turns with a tub of Neapolitan ice cream.
Stop it. You're going to stop the ice cream.
Stop doing it.
Why?
Who about to close it up?
Oh my gosh, my friends. All you do is yell at me.
Friday afternoons around here can be a little hectic. That's what happens when you have seven school-age cousins under one roof. It's a happy house, but 10th grader Kalia Smith tells me she wishes it wasn't located here, in this quiet suburban subdivision.
People in here just, like, started drama, so now it's just so hard to live here and interact with people in your neighborhood.
Durham imagined a very different suburban life when she was a poor kid growing up in South Philly. Back then, she would watch shows like Happy Days and Daydream.
If it was on television, I knew it wasn't just for those people. I just knew it. I knew it here. It wasn't just for those people.
Durham had her first child when she was 12, but she managed to finish high school and by 19 settled down with a guy who had a steady job. They lived in West Philly, but whenever she could, she'd round up her seven kids and take them on a driving tour of the middle-class neighborhoods just beyond the city line.
And they used to say, there she goes dreaming, because that was Sunday afternoon. We're going to ride through those nice neighborhoods.
Eventually, Durham found good work herself, managing a chain of cell phone stores. In 2000, when she was 46 years old, she'd saved just enough money to buy a house in one of those idyllic neighborhoods she'd always dreamed about. She wasn't your typical suburbanite in this mostly white township, and her neighbors seemed to agree.
It was almost like they thought I had hit the lottery and didn't belong here.
See, Durham's family never matched the Ozzie and Harriet vibe of her new neighborhood. She has 35 grandchildren and 16 great-grandchildren. She calls them all her grands. Over the years, for various reasons, she's taken in many of her grands. And by 2014, she had 12 of them living with her and attending the Pottsgrove School District.
I didn't know anything about residency papers. I just went, I told them who they were, and they went to school.
Things changed in the fall of 2014. That's when a neighbor told the school district that she suspected the children didn't actually live at Durham's house. The district investigated and said it found evidence that 9 of the 12 kids did live elsewhere.
And I was like, okay, you got to show me this proof.
At a hearing, the district presented testimony from two social workers and a paid investigator. They said they found a suspicious pattern of absences. The investigator claimed he saw the mom of two of the kids in a car that was registered in nearby Pottstown. Durham had no witnesses. She didn't know that was allowed. The school board eventually upheld the district's argument and removed the 9 students. Durham was dumbfounded.
Where were they going to go to school at? They really lived here.
The answer was nowhere. For 4 months, Durham's grands were completely out of school.
The only thing that bothered me was that they were hurting my kids. That bothered me. My kids don't do anything to anybody. Nope. That bothered me.
Finally, lawyers from the nonprofit Education Law Center intervened and convinced the district to re-enroll the children. Pottsgrove declined our request to speak about Durham's case or their residency enforcement methods. Eventually, the Pennsylvania Commonwealth Court reviewed the case and determined the district never had enough evidence to toss out the students. Attorney Maura McInerney helped represent Durham.
I think it underscored everything that's sort of wrong in our system with regard to residency hearings.
McInerney says her office receives about 150 calls every year from families who believe they've been improperly removed from suburban districts or denied enrollment. McInerney believes in many cases, districts wind up prosecuting families in non-traditional living arrangements, Maybe they live with extended family or they're transient.
This really often hurts families who are the most vulnerable. People living in poverty, people who may be immigrants or refugees, people who don't have the resources to provide a full case.
WHYY filed right-to-know requests with every district in the four collar counties surrounding Philadelphia. We asked for a racial breakdown of all students suspected of living outside district lines and all students actually disenrolled. Because districts aren't required to track any of this, the majority said they didn't have records. But 20 did have the data and had removed at least 10 students over the last 3 years or sent more than 10 written notifications. In every single one of those districts, students suspected of residency fraud were disproportionately non-white. In other words, the pool of disenrolled students always had a greater percentage of minority students than the districts as a whole. Take Cheltenham School District in Montgomery County, where about a third of students are white. Over the last 3 years, Cheltenham has disenrolled 42 children. Not one of them was white. But the district says this is a case of correlation, not causation. Kate Shevlin is Cheltenham's registrar and residency specialist.
It's not a black and white issue, but it's a black and white issue in the fact that you're either a resident or you're not.
Cheltenham acts on tips, Shevlin says. When the tips lead to students who have illegally enrolled, the district removes them.
And so these things are coming to the registration department. I don't look at a child's file and go, let me see if Johnny is not a resident.
It's also possible the racial disparity in disenrollment reflects a racial disparity in actual infractions. Perhaps there are just more minority families trying to move from poor districts to wealthier ones, and thus more minority families getting caught. Even Octavia Durham still isn't sure what role race played in her case or why exactly her neighbors reported her.
Because it's not, they do have black friends, so it's not that kind of racial. I think it was status. Okay, there you go. I just think they felt as though I didn't belong here.
But Durham has stayed. She knows her grands don't always love Pottsgrove, but she's still glad they moved.
Because what I wanted, I got. Yeah. Which was a better life for my grands.
And those grands won't have to daydream about a quiet life in the suburbs, she says. They'll expect it. And perhaps their future neighbors will expect to share it with them. Avi Wolfman-Arendt, WHYY News.
To see how many kids your school district has disenrolled in recent years, visit whyy.org.